Morning.
That's great for the media. I know what you're thinking, man. I thought we got a lot more young and handsome, but. So our focus is currently on a much needed getaway. We're glad to know we pray for the safe travels coming home. In all seriousness, it's kind of cool that I was given this opportunity to speak the last sermon of the year. So whatever I say has to be forgiven tomorrow. I was thinking about this week what 2017 meant to me, and obviously every year comes with its trials, good and bad, but overall I thought it was a pretty good year for us. We moved closer home because our family was growing, and my brothers and sisters, their family was growing, so we got to move closer home. It's been great being back with everyone, and by moving closer to our earthly family, we've got to get to know our new spiritual family. Here at Seminole, it's been such a blessing. As I continue to think about 2017, we had the birth of my youngest son, Grayson, who is now a 23-pound bundle of everywhere. He's learned to crawl and he wants no part of anyone now. The Christmas tree they had a battle last month. But it's just everyone, we've had some times where we've been sick, but overall everyone's healthy. We've seen holidays, we've seen birthdays, and for me that's a pretty good year in my book, and I just hope to build on that in 2018. I thought it would be kind of dumb with myself if I got up here the very last Sunday of the year and I didn't give everyone, including myself, a challenge for the new year. So that's what we're going to do today. And there are many challenges within the church that we can challenge ourselves with, one being praying. Last month I preached on Jonah, and in verse 1 I talked about how God loves to speak, loves to talk with his people, and praying is one of the ways that you can really draw close to not only someone, but God as well, that conversing factor. There's also spending time reading so that we're better prepared and ready to face the trials throughout this world than that provides. But the challenge I wanted to take some time on today and speak about was being here in the assembly, not just in the assembly, but being with your like-minded people. Whether it's here in worship in the assembly, whether it's Bible class, or whether it's gatherings that we have outside of church, whether those are youth events, or group one gets together, or group two, or whatever that may be, or a Christmas party, but just being with each other, the things that we can experience from that. And before we move on, I know this can be one of those lessons where you feel like you're getting your toes set on. This is for me too, because there are some Sunday mornings I don't want to get out of bed. I've had a long week and I just want to sit there. And while I was writing this sermon, my mom did a lot of quirky things when I was younger. But one of the things that she did was every morning before school, we got one morning right here, by the way. They heard us preaching and decided they'd ruin the morning. Every morning she would come in to wake you up for school, and you got one morning to get out of bed. And if you did not eat that morning, within the next 5 minutes, you would feel the covers being slowly pulled off of you. And before you could realize what was going on, she would be spraying you with a water bottle. And there are some Sundays where I wish she would come in there and spray me with a water bottle, because I thought it never failed, I got up out of bed. And especially imagine that happening in like January and February, and I was in the coldest room of the house. So I know what it's like to struggle on Sunday mornings or to have these excuses for why we can't come. I'm there as well. I'm human. Just because I'm up here doesn't give me any kind of special power. But yeah, I wish sometimes people would just spray me out on Sundays. This morning I want to spend time in John 20. So if you have your Bibles or your cell phones, whatever you use for your Bible, turn to John chapter 20. We're going to be in 19 through 29. In verse 19 of chapter 20, John says, "On the evening of the first day when the disciples were together, with their doors locked and filled with prisoners, Jesus came with me." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So what's happened is Jesus has been resurrected, and he's shown himself to his disciples. And I want you to think about what kind of moment this is. How cool this would be. This would be like losing a loved one and then them showing up at your doorstep 3 days later. Someone they spent the better part of many years together, following him and talking to him and getting to know him. Not just as Jesus, but there's this brother factor in this play. This is someone they love and adore, and they lost him, and yet here he is standing before them, showing them his hands with holes in them and the hole in his side. Imagine the feeling that they're feeling right now. Such joy to have a loved one back in front of them. And he is telling them, "Peace be with you." But of all the disciples, there was one missing. You guys know who that was? Who was not there? Thomas. Thomas was not there. Thomas missed this important occasion. One of the most important times a disciple could have had, he missed. He was not there. He missed the joy of seeing the Lord, which said John 20, verse 20. And joy happened to those who did witness the resurrection, because Matthew 28, verse 8 says, when the two Marys went to the tomb and it was empty, they ran away afraid, but were filled with joy. Okay, so two different times they were filled with joy because of this resurrection. Those who got to miss it, those who got to see it, but Thomas missed it because Thomas wasn't initially there. He missed the comfort of being with the people who felt these experiences. Because he was there, he didn't get to feel the experience of what these others were feeling. When the disciples came together, there was an opportunity to pray together. Imagine Jesus has died, he's come back, and you have an opportunity to pray with this resurrected man. Alright, this Messiah, and he missed it. And in Acts chapter 1, it says that when they came together, this group was constantly praying. But Thomas missed this moment. He was not there. He missed the opportunities. He missed the evidence that came with this. That would have shattered his doubt. He missed it. He missed Jesus showing his hand and his side because he wasn't there. And this lasted for a week. Thomas remained uncertain for a week. John 20, verse 26. We'll pick up there. 24, it says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed.' Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So for a week, Thomas remained uncertain. This was not only a time to be with his disciples, but it was a time to build faith, a time to see. Yet this man is who he said he was all along, but he missed it because he wasn't there. I love what Jesus says in verse 29. He says, "Thomas, you see me and you believe. Blessed are those who will not see me but believe." Talking about people like me and you that don't get to see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side where he was stabbed. That's incredible faith. But Thomas' faith was weak because he wasn't there amongst his peers. We missed Jesus' charge in verses 22 and 23 to the disciples. And with this he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit if you forgive anyone's sins. Their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the symbolism of Jesus gave a piece of himself to them so that they could go on and continue performing the miracles needed to grow his church. And, you know, I'm sure Thomas got to hear about this later, but he missed it because he wasn't there. He wasn't there. He missed one of the greatest opportunities he could have had in his lifetime. He missed. And because of this moment, he gained a reputation. And here we are, you know, a few thousand years later, and what do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. This moment in his life has stood with him even after his death. And here we are in a church on Sunday morning, 2,000 years later, talking about who Thomas was because of that moment. And we call him Doubting Thomas. He built a reputation because he wasn't there. He wasn't there among his peers. When I was 17, it was around the 4th of July. It was after the 4th of July. And my mom's going to laugh at this story. They bought me some fireworks and set water on them, which probably wasn't the smartest decision on their part, because I thought no better way to test them out than to throw them in their main bathroom toilet. And so I lit it, I threw it in the water, and it caught the fumes from the septic tank, and I mean, blew up like it was. I might as well throw a stick of dynamite in there, because that toilet was gone. The water was going everywhere. I was young. I could frame a house, and I didn't want to shut the water off on the toilet, if that makes any sense. So I called my mom, I tell her what I've done, she helped me shut the water off. And even though I paid to have that toilet fixed the very next day, my mom, 9 or about 17, so that makes it about 14 years later, still tells that story at about every family get-together you possibly can think of. So that has been my reputation, is that I blow up toilets, and she would tell you, don't invite me over around July 4th. But that is what has happened to Thomas. Even though the doubt was removed 8 days later, he still shares in that reputation that he gained for doubting that Jesus was that. Doubting that Jesus was Jesus for that instance. Because how can you travel with someone for the time that he did and have that doubt? Well, he said he was coming back. So because of that moment, he is Doubting Thomas. Everyone to talk about. After all these experiences that Thomas gives, we miss these similar experiences when we miss being with each other. Whether it's the assembly or the Bible class or the gathering, like I said, these are the kinds of experiences that we miss when we are not here. The time of gathering is also a time of encouragement to keep us out of sin. When we're here together, we're not talking about just my sin. We're talking about the things that all of us have trouble dealing with. This is the time for all of us to come together and to fix the things in our lives that need to be fixed. And we all know that we have to talk about it, and we have to hear that someone else is struggling. That feeling of, I'm not the only one, is a comfortable feeling to hear. Luke 8:13 says, it is time to put down roots. Mark 14:38 says it's a time to watch and pray together. Yes, we are missing similar things when we miss being here in worship, studying, and fellowship together. Worship is a time spent with our God. Matthew 18:20 says Jesus is here with us right now. Psalm 122:1, it is a time for joy. Remember, those who witnessed their resurrection felt joy. We feel the same thing when we are amongst the presence of God. Just like those in the resurrection, Psalm 16:11 says, you are in God's presence. And then we have our scripture reading in Psalm 100. You guys want to turn back over there and read that with me. Psalm 100:1-5. We're going to read it one more time. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, worshiping the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We
experienced that unless we hear together in His presence, that is the only experience we hear with Him. And that can't happen unless we're together. That is what that's an experience that we should long for, that we should desire. Our gatherings are also a time of comfort. I want to read 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. It says, we're finding comfort in a common goal. It says in verse 16, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven and not command with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet God called God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and we left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. When we're together, we give this encouragement. And we're striving for the same goals, the same opportunities that He has expressed to all of us. To feel that joy of knowing that there's life after this. We can't feel that unless we're together. We're missing these are things that we will not feel. Being together is a time for building faith, a time to examine the evidence, just as Thomas missed the evidence when Jesus walked in and filled his holes in his hands and his side. To hear the same charge Jesus gave to the disciples being applied to us as well. We pray for each other just as Jesus taught. I'm about to pick up his word. Just as Jesus taught in Matthew 6:9-15. One of my favorite things about being here is that sometimes we get to witness somebody give their life to God. There have been times in my short ministry run where I have missed one of my youth get baptized. And as happy as I am for them, I'm also sad that I missed it because I wasn't there. I didn't get the experience them coming out of the water for the first time and feeling that relief that God's got. Jesus has got me. And I miss that. And I only get to hear about it. And I wish I would have been there. That is what Thomas went through. These are some of the things that we miss when we just simply are not here. We know we should be there. Being here, we should bestow proper honor on each other when we walk in. You know, what do we think of when we miss? You know, I was talking to someone one time, and we were just talking about the Bible, and someone who I look up to as far as spiritual. And he says that even though, you know, he's an elder, he still fears missing work over missing time with God. That sounds pretty crazy, right? Missing work was temporary, which I know is our life, I'm not, you know, short-sighted kind of thing, but he's more concerned with missing work than he would be to miss a week because he wanted to see more time. That's scary to me. That can be scary. Because those little things lead to another thing, and another thing leads to what we talked about in class this morning. The more we give time to other things, the more times those things take away from our true aim and our true focus of being here. It's so easy to take something that is always there for granted, and that is the church that's always here. And our mindset sometimes is, well, there's always next week. Is there always next week? Something to think about. It's so easy to find excuses to do other things. I've been there. And sometimes, like I said earlier, I still find that. There's some days I'm just going to get up. I want to sleep. And 7 o'clock in our hour drive is kind of there, especially if you don't know that until midnight, which is my goal. But I want everyone to hear this. Everyone's going to need a reputation while we're down here on earth. A reputation of being faithful or not. And I'm motivated by the fact that what people think of me. Now, I know there's people that are, it doesn't matter what people think of you. And on the grand scheme of things, it doesn't. But it matters what God thinks of me, and that's my motivation. I try to better myself by just kind of saying that to me, that, you know, God is watching me. God cares what you're doing. God cares how you're living. So that's my motivation. And another thing is, I don't feel like Thomas. I don't want people 2,000 years from now saying, man, I know God cares so much potential left. He just wasn't there. I don't want to be this. Or say that about. I don't want that reputation. And I don't think anyone else does for that matter either. So I know that was kind of short. Sid, maybe that's kind of clear. That's what you meant for. But here we are at the close of 2017. What better commitment to make than to grow closer to God in 2018? I said Wednesday when I gave, I'm not big into New Year's resolutions. I've never really had one. I thought about having one this year so I could run like an Ironman, like maybe 2019, while I was eating my own cheeseburger. But I don't believe in these resolutions, but if you need them, there's only 8% of them actually come to fruition. 8% every year of all of these resolutions, only 8% work out. That's a pretty crazy statistic right there. But if you need to make it a New Year's resolution, do it. I'll do it. We've got to be better about being here in this group as a family. Because when this family is inspired to be here together, we're also going to help those who are looking outside to be inspired to be here, to see what it is that God has so fired up. And that's the goal, to grow the church. So that's what it needs to be, is a New Year's resolution to grow closer to God, do it. I also gave a top 10. In a country where 70% of the adults in this country claim to be Christian, God, grow closer to God, are praying for everything, we're talking in the top 10 worldwide, or nationwide. New Year's resolution. That's pretty scary. Right? Let's make it that. 2018, let's grow closer to God. Let's want Him. Let's want Him so that we can grow closer to Him. I hope that you guys got something from this morning. It's a scary thing to know that we live in this world where we have so many that do claim to be Christian but are not willing to vocalize it, are not willing to share it. And I hope everyone's life overall is going great, but we need to constantly grow closer to God. And on Wednesday, Paul told when I was talking, we read a passage in Thessalonians that, where Paul wrote his letter to the church there, and he said, for those of you that are doing good, that are living by what we said, do more. So for those of us who think, hey, we're doing pretty good, do more. Continue to lead those around you. So let's do that in 2018. I hope that you guys will do it with me. I want to read one more time from Psalms 100, 1 through 5, before we close. And it said, Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise Him, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I don't want my thoughts. I'm sad. I don't want anyone else to be here. If you need prayers from the church, or if you want to put God on in baptism, that's the reputation you want to gain. It's the reputation of being close to God. There are many things we need to work on. I got to work on my temper and other things, you know, but the thing that we constantly need to work on is bettering our relationship with God. It is the only way we have success and a passage to a life that comes after this. So whatever you need this morning, please start with these things.
Bring Christ to our brother.